Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yo, people, welcome to this week's episode of Thoughts in a Cully. This week, I was joined by Lethal Bizzle. Yes, a close personal friend of mine, a pioneer, a UK music legend. He has the 20th anniversary of Pal Show coming up on the 1st of December. He came on Thoughts in a Cully to talk all about it.
Yo, Maxwell.
Love one.
Maxwell.
What's up,
my boy? How are you?
There, my guy.
You good?
I see man how to use this team.
Of course you do, mate. First one in the roller, weren't you?
Something like that. What are you saying?
Nothing, man.
Big posts!
Nothing, man. Congratulations, man. Pal 20th anniversary.
Yeah, bro. That's gone fast, man.
Very fast. What are you saying? That was in 2004?
Yeah, good maths still.
Yeah. You know, quick maths there. Hey, that's insane, though. It seems like just yesterday that Pal came about. Obviously, Pal's like one of the most revolutionary, impactful anthems that have ever come out of the country. We've probably spoken about it a million times, but how groundbreaking and life-changing was that song for you?
You know, it came at a very serious time for me. Not even just for me, I just think for kind of everyone, because the game was really low.
Yeah.
It was like after the More Fire, Soul Solid era, the police were shutting us down. That's when I said, you know what? Like, I was trying to get a deal back then, but no one was getting signed. So I said, I'm just going to start my own label, innit? Leave for the Busy Records and try and operate a label. And then I just hit the man them up and I said, listen, I'm trying to ting. I've got a little label, Leave for Busy Records. Like, I'm 20 years old and I don't really know what I'm doing. But I'm just like, yeah, like, come to the studio. I've got this beat, got an idea. When we left there, I don't think anyone knew what was happening. To be fair, I didn't even know what was about to happen.
Like, yeah.
I was just trying to think, but I remember when everyone done their vocals and I started listening to it back, I was just thinking, nah, this is going to pop in the streets. Like, And that was my only like ambition for it. I didn't think it was going to go anywhere else. I just thought, you know what, let's make a song for the streets that people can, you know what I mean, vibe to and that. And then 2 months down the line, we've done a video for Channel U and then it's just gone to a whole different place that I didn't expect it to, and then it got signed and then it got banned and then I got banned and then we went back to square one again, we're banned again, we can't perform. Then David Cameron, who was the Prime Minister at the time, was getting onto me talking about yeah the songs I'm making influences kids, and kind of like what's happening with the drill thing. It's just a recycle, isn't it?
But yeah
it was just like there was so much like pushback with the song, it actually made the song even bigger. And I think credit to myself not stopping, because I could have easily just gave up and said, you know what, like, you lot are trying to shut me down again, which is stopping me from making money. But I just kept pushing through. And the people most importantly made the song where it was, because they just reacted and connected to it like beyond anything that I could imagine. And 20 years later, the reaction's still the same. So I thought it makes sense for me to do something for the people, just to see us all on stage together and do something that we haven't done before.
Obviously, you mentioned before when you was touching on when you guys were making Power, it was a very bad time for music in terms of like people trying to control things or making things difficult or whatever the case may be. Like, how difficult were things for you at that time? Because you had like a big amount of success with More Fire Crew,
yeah,
and then Music Game's in a bad place. Are you thinking at that time maybe I should get a job or do this or do that instead of like, because obviously it just came at a time where you least expected it.
I'll be honest, I half went back on the streets.
Yeah.
Put some money aside to couple man to flip it and do what they were doing because it was peak. We couldn't do no shows. I wasn't thinking to get a job because I was like, in my brain, I was like, listen, to be fair, big up my cousin. Those had scrambles, man. He's a donut, but big him up because well, I had one night. I was just like, listen, man, this thing's done, man. Like, I'm just going to go back on the roads, man, and just do that. And he was just like, listen, man, what are you talking about? Like, you've just been giving Bear free promo, innit? Like, you've got a big song. Your name's out there. You just got to build off that, innit? So he gave me some little pep talk, and I was thinking, you know what, maybe he's got a point. So I said to myself, I'm just going back to plan B, I mean, back to basics. I'm going back on pirate radio. I'm just going to start again, basically. I had a little bit of savings from the More Fire thing. Nothing too crazy. I had a few racks there just to keep me going, as well as a couple of the man them doing what they're doing. And it was like, it's all or nothing now. And to add, my parents moved back to Ghana in 03. So now I'm like, rah, I'm really on my own two feet. I ain't really got no one to lean on. So I have to go all out in this music scene and see what happens. I just went for broke, basically.
Yeah, was this your vest days? I remember there was a time where you was wearing white vests, like in the heads and that. Yeah, back in the day.
You know, remember sure? That? Vests?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Vest? Yeah, nah, you might be talking about something.
Nah. You was wearing vests a couple of times back in the day, man. Yeah, bro, you sure
that was me, bro?
Nah, 100%. But I saw you upload some picture the other day with the Academics tracksuit and the Harajis and that.
Yeah.
He was always very, very, very fly.
Yeah,
them
you know
times.
My thing, bro. Man set the trend. Like I feel like I was probably one of the first to wear Academics. But that was my thing. Though I was always been a little fly kid, man. You know what I mean? I've always been, you know, what I'm saying trainers and tracksuits. And that's what I really wanted. That's all we used to do this for, man. Trainers, tracksuits, and Avrexes.
Yeah.
And maybe a sick car, and a bike.
Yeah.
That was the aim. That was like when we first started because there was nothing really else to look to say, rah, look at him. He's actually got this and got that. I was just around the drug dealers. I was around the shotters. And I saw, rah, you might have got clothes. You might have got bikes. So that's all I've ever thought it would be. And it's only when I got to where I wanted to be and I was like, rah, now this actually can, I can take this a bit more further now.
I feel like this is like first generation in terms of people that are able to be successful in the things that we're being successful at.
So, obviously,
before us, of course, our parents could have been successful, maybe doctors or successful lawyers or whatever. But in terms of like the music space and in the entertainment space, actual like normal, I hate to use the word cool, but cool people, like just normal people, this is like our first run. And obviously you had a lot of success before a lot of us, if that makes any sense. So you would have probably experienced things like entitlement before we did. Like, we don't even know what entitlement is.
Yeah,
like, we're listening to rap. We're listening to rap, and we know there's this term that the Americans use called player haters or haters.
We're
singing along, but we don't really know what a hater is. But you are discovering this very, very early on.
Yeah, very early.
Because you know what? So mad, I feel like people, especially like you or like Wiley, like people in that ilk, like there was a point where everyone's pressure of success, like they just thought that you guys could fix it. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It's like, I need a song with Wiley or I need a song with Lethal. Or, do you get what I'm trying to say? So, like how difficult was that for you? Like, have you got any other crazy entitlement situations that you might have gone through?
Bruv, I don't know where to start with that one still. And you know what? I kind of take blame for a little bit because I was speaking to Demon and we were just talking about back in the day and he said to me, bro, you see when we did Power, man didn't know what we were doing and man are looking at me thinking, well, Biz, you know what you're doing because you done OA, so you understand the game. Bro, these times I'm 20, I'm the same age as you. Yes, I've had a big song, cool. I don't know the music business like that, so what I'm coming to say is basically there was a point where a few of the guys were upset with me because they didn't sign up for PRS, which I told everybody about PRS, but
that's cool. Also not your responsibility.
It's not my responsibility, but cool. The entitlement of like, I'm supposed to patent it, PRS, whatever, cool. I've told man about PRS, go sign up, whatever. I think a lot of man didn't sign up till years later. And I remember Demon said to me, bro, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I'm older now, innit? Like, at the time, I'm pissed, but when I deep it, bro, it's man's own fault. Like, I'm supposed to go and pattern the PRS. Like, it's not your responsibility. Do you get what I'm saying? So a lot of that was kind of making a bit of friction between the man them back then because they didn't understand it. There's only so much one person can do. There's 10, 15 man. Everybody's waiting for Lethal to, when's Lethal going to do the song? When's Lethal going to ring me for the next song? And it's just like, bro, like, there's only so much I can do. Also, I'm a solo artist. I'm me. I need to do me as well. But at the same time, it was fun until it wasn't. When I started realising where people were just waiting for me to pick up the phone and say, okay, cool, let's be here. Okay, cool, let's do that. Where I just probably would have liked maybe them to be a bit more proactive, like, and take on their own careers as well. So when we link up, we're the team, we're the gang, but every individual has their own situation, gang. A bit like Boy Better Know. Yes, Skepta, JME, but you got Frisco, you've got Shorty, you know what I'm saying? You've got Maximum, you've got everyone doing their thing individually, but then when they link up, they're the gang. And I feel like I might have, what's the word? Maybe overextend my arm too much and where maybe I should have just tried to push them to do their own thing more. Rather than me just trying to take control of everything and trying to help all the time. As time went on, man, I just had to just make a decision and say, Biz, you need to just focus on what you're doing, man, because as much as you want to help the man then, bro, and sometimes the man then don't want to help themselves. That's another thing.
To be honest, when you look at your career, you can see how much you've tried to involve people. I mean, we're here because it's the 20th anniversary of Pow. Pow is a song with 8+ MCs on there.
Yeah. 10, 11.
10. Well, there you go. 11 MCs on there. Your inception into the music business, we saw you with More Fire Crew, and then afterwards, More Fire Crew, you've done Fire Camp. Mm. You've done something called Boundary as well. You've always been surrounded by people or trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not too sure how close were you, Ozzy, and Nico when you guys made More Fire Crew. Were you like childhood friends, or was it something that you guys had known each other for a few years and had started to make that work?
Me and Ozzy were actually childhood friends. We went secondary school together. So I known Ozzy from year 7. Nico, I knew of him because he was from Chingford and I was from Boundary. So it's like we're neighbors. So I used to see Nico around, but I didn't really know him like that, but I used to know of him. So after I've left school, me and Ozzy have like gone different colleges, so we wasn't really in contact as much. So I must have butt Ozzy one day, just like Wagwan, and then he was telling me that he's doing this More Fire Crew thing with Nico. And I was doing my own solo thing with my DJ at the time. And then Ozzy was just looking at it thinking, that Biz, you're over there with your DJ doing your thing. Me and Nico are doing our thing. Like, might as well just link up, innit? So Ozzy basically brought us together. After that, I feel like within the year of being like More Fire, I think that's when the Ice song happened.
Yeah, because as a fan, a proud fan as well, like when I was growing up, the first time I've seen the three of you, I'm like, yeah, these lot have known each other since they were 2 years old. Like, that's how you sold it to me. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Nah, but we all clicked, like, obviously Ozzy, but me, like, Neeks. From when you're cool with Ozzy, you know, Ozzy's one of them dons where if Ozzy's cool with you, then you kind of know you're going to be cool with the person. You know, he's like one of those kind of guys.
Being that out of More Fire Crew, Fire Camp, Boundary, all these situations, you have been the most successful artist and out of all those types of situations, what type of pressure has that put on, or if any, has that put any pressure on your relationships with people like Nico or Ozzy because you guys started together?
On my side, obviously, there's never really been an issue with anyone. I think over the years, like me, Ozzy and Nico's communication has like drifted over the years. And I guess that's just life sometimes, isn't it? And I've just been busy, they're doing their thing. But funnily enough, it's like this Pow reunion has almost rekindled a lot of relationships. And I had a conversation literally the other day with Nico, a conversation we should have probably had a while ago, because we just haven't seen, like, we see each other, but it's all like, yes, cool, Wagwan, cool, whatever. And then we just had a convo about just everything over the last 10, 15 years. And it was almost just like a convo just to, I wouldn't even say clear the air, because there was nothing really to clear, but it was just like, the conversation was a good one just to just let each other know, like, bro, regardless of what you've done, like even Nico was telling me, like, bro, like, well done, innit? Like, big up what you've done, innit? But he's not into the mind games of making people think that because I've done this and they've done that, that there should be a problem. If you would have asked me this question probably before I spoke to Neeks, I might have had a different answer. But now we've spoken, we're very much on the same page, and Nico and Ozzy, everyone's cool now. And I mean, I'm not saying we're getting back together or we're going to be a happy family, but just know that as it stands now, like, we're good.
You guys also come up for special occasions as well. Obviously, yeah. You guys did Carnival this year.
Yeah, yeah.
That was before
yeah.
the conversation, right?
No, so the conversation happened after that. Before the conversation. Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So there's never really been a problem.
Power's so big. You even had a Jay-Z verse that we've never heard, but we've always heard rumors about this amazing verse. Charlie. I feel like we should touch on that as well. Obviously, I mean, having a song, an English song, so big at the time that one of the biggest rappers in the world decides to rap on it then was even bigger than now, because our thing then was so niche and so small.
Small back then.
But the song was just so big, it just couldn't be ignored.
Mm.
What's that like, knowing that you were able to accomplish something so big and massive?
You know what?
Pause.
Yeah, that's a pause still. Jay-Z's one of my favorites. Arguably the GOAT. And my thing was, I look at things differently. Like, I look at things of how people think.
Yeah.
And there's a part of Jay-Z's brain gets my idea. And that for me was like, rah, there's something in our brains that click. And for him to do what he did, for me, was just like reassurance for myself to say, yeah, like, I'm definitely, like, my thought process is on the right track, because I've got arguably the biggest rapper in the world understanding what I'm trying to do here. And he went and done a verse, which we ain't heard yet, and I'm still trying to get older, but big up Jay-Z for that. But also as well, man, you know what it is with all of our scene, bro? Crabs in a bucket, man.
Talk to me about that.
Because, I mean, when I go back to thinking of Powell, like, it's almost like you're waiting for the flop, or you're waiting for the, I don't know, the come down, or you're waiting for him to go broke, or, like, there's just this weird energy that, I don't know if it's just this country or if it's just human beings that thrive of downfall and someone going through shit. Maybe it just comes with success, and I get that part of success. As I'm older, I'm starting to understand what success brings. There's a lot of elements that you may not necessarily want, but unfortunately, that's what's gonna happen. Back then, I didn't understand it. Now, I'm a big man now, so I get it. So I move accordingly. Like, I know how to move. Like, even becoming a dad has made me even have a different objective and perspective on how I view the world, period. And I almost feel like having control of your life, not on your phone, like via social, like real life, is more important than how it looks to the world. And I get we're in this, we need to make sure it always looks lit. And that's why I started Skint Gang, bro. Do you know why I started Skint Gang? Because there was one point, I think it was, I just come out of a long relationship, yeah? And bro, I just wanted to be outside. That's when I bought the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, like, 2017, 2018, bro, I was in jets every month, bro. I was chartering jets, going here, getting the man that we're going, I was just going mad, driving to the jet with my fucking Rolls Royce, just looking crazy. And I just remember, and I could feel the energy, like, ah, oh, this boy's too rich, man. He don't need our support no more. He don't need our support. I could feel it. And I was like, nah, I need to strip this down a bit, bro, man. People are looking at me a bit too lit. I know it sounds stupid, but it's like, that's how people think. It's like, rah, nah, he's too successful. Nah, we can't support him. So I was like, nah, bro, I'm skint gang. I had to strip it back. Like, bro, just because you see me, I'm lit, but the mentality is still at broke and stat notes. You get what I'm saying? So I started a whole skink gang movement to make people understand, like, cool, despite you seeing me how I'm moving, don't ever get it twisted. It's still, if I can't afford three of them, I can't afford to buy one, innit? That's still the motto. So I started to try and reposition how I was looking, because online I was looking too lit. And I know that saying that to someone would be like, what? That is stupid. But unfortunately, I don't know, if, as I said, if it's just this country or it's just our culture, when you look too lit, the hate just starts getting mad. So it's almost like I've got to dumb myself down for you to support, because that makes you feel like, okay, maybe relatable or something. Like, it's fucking jarring, but it's something I've managed to try and put into my I don't know if it's the ethos is the word, but shit, I've gone way off topic now, but you took me somewhere totally different.
No, you're good.
But so skink gang, so as I'm talking about that, basically is just a way of life of, despite how successful, despite how, you know, wherever I am in life, I've always tried to just stay on zero. And when I say zero, I just try and keep my feet on the floor. Having the biggest song in the world, keep my foot on the floor. Not doing nothing, you can't see me, I just keep my foot on the floor. Anyone who knows me personally will know that I don't switch up on dons. If I switched up on you, it's because you've done some dumb shit. Like, I just keep it thorough, innit? That's my thing. If you're on a path that I don't rate, then cool, you might not see me, innit? But I'm not a man that get rich and switch. So if anyone, you can't get hold of me, you have to look at yourself and be like, rah, okay, maybe it's something that you're doing that I don't want to be around, because I'm very big on frequencies. I'm very big on energies. I'm very big on mixing with different energies. I'm very big on being around the wrong people could block your blessings, because you're not going to get the blessings, because the people you're around might benefit from the blessing, but they're doing fuckery. So you're not going to get that blessing until you get away from them. And that's happened to me numerous amount of times in my life, where I've had to move away from certain people and then the blessings just kept coming. So I'm very big on that. So today we're in this very cancel culture and social media. You do the wrong thing, you can just get cancelled. Everybody wants to look like they're having a great time. And I just think now, becoming a dad, that my perspective is very much real life, very much just living in the moment and giving the people what I want you to see, controlling my narrative. Like, if I'm outside and you see me outside, try to know that I'm letting you know that. But there's times where I'm doing the most, I'm having a great time, but it's not for social media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just in the real world. And I guess that's a hard balance to have now, because everything is monetary now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not really me at this point. You know what I mean? Anything that's monetary, for me, just has to make sense. Like, there's so much things I could monetize on that I know that I'll get bare traction and loads of eyeballs. But to be fair, at this point, bro, I'm just trying to complete missions and get home safe, collect the bag, and look after my family, man. So I went somewhere else, bro. Where are you taking me? I went mad. Where did that even start, bro? Fucking hell.
We didn't know what an A&R was when we was growing up, but obviously a lot of us have been A&Rs, like even me.
Yeah, 100.
GRM, I was an A&R.
Big post.
Before I knew I was an A&R.
Come on.
Lost it on loads of money, I did. But I was going to say, like, one of your best friends is an A&R. I definitely feel like it's Fuming. He was a big, big deal, man. Very big deal. Like, can you...
Fuming was cold.
Could you, yeah, definitely. Even when he was, like, rapping as well, like, he was an all-rounder.
But he was the coldest, bro. Again, just, I feel like, ahead of his time, cold, bro. But you know what? I got to big up Hotshot, because Hotshot basically brought Fuming to me. So, if you don't know who Hotshot is, he's the guy who had the last verse on Power.
Shoot it.
Yeah. So, he was like, yo, I've got these guys, Fuming and Scampi, and there's a few other guys. So, we went to link them. That's some radio set. I think he was in someone's house. Like, they were doing, like, you know, back in the day, you should just do little tapes and that, spitting bars in the bedroom and shit.
Mm.
So Hotshot's taking me there. And then he was telling me about this guy called Scampi. And he's like, bruv, this Scampi guy, he's cold. I'm like, all right, cool. But then I've heard Fuming.
So I'm there thinking, I'm like, but who's this guy? He goes, yeah, he's fuming. He's cold as well. And I was thinking, nah, bro. Scampi's good, but this fuming guy, there's something about him. So I just started bringing them radio. And then Fuming was just hungry. Like, he was just on it. Like, Scampi was good, but if I remember, he wasn't as hungry as Fuming in terms of ready to come radio and to do shows and ready to pull up. So my thing with me is, you're not outworking me. Like, I'm a workaholic. Like, I'm a man that's, if I'm on something, I'm on it, and I've probably got 6-7 other things happening at the same time. So I rate man that wants to work and is not scared of grafting. And Fuming was showing me that, yo, like, I'm ready to go, innit? And I feel like the only thing I can say with that situation is I just wish I was in a position I was probably in now where I could actually put him in a situation, because back then, as you would know, no one weren't getting no label deal situations or stuff like that. Like, you'd barely get a single deal. I mean, luckily, I was probably one of the lucky four. Me, Kano, Dizzy, Wiley, that got album deals back then. They weren't even looking at really no one else. So I just feel like he just needed resources that I couldn't provide. All I could probably do at the time was, cool, put you on PAL, get your name out there. But I wish I could have had a label to be like, listen, we need to sign my guy. He needs to have his own career. But didn't have the resources back then.
So what ended up happening to Fuming? Did he just kind of like just give up, hang up his boots?
Well, we had a little falling out. And that was partly of what I was talking about with the power situation, etc. But I know he was still making music for a bit. But far as I know now, I don't know if he's making music as much as he used to be, or he's really even focused on doing music like that. So even regards to the show, he's just doing it because it's just like...
Oh, so he will be at the show.
Everyone's pulling up. Well, far as I know, everyone's they're pulling up. So
okay, sick.
So
now, when you say you lot are falling out, I thought maybe he wasn't making the show then. But
no. I mean, this I'm talking about old stuff ago. Though. Okay, oh, it's like this is like over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know what I'm saying? So,
speaking of fallouts, you know, you're one of the people, in my opinion, that's never lost a clash. I don't think that you've lost a clash in the last...
I don't think I have either, to be fair.
In the last 20 years. I think you've had a couple of draws.
Couple of draws?
I think you got one draw. The Wiley one, for me, is a draw.
Yeah, but
you know what? That was some of the best Wiley in a clash I've heard in my life as well.
Yeah, that
but
was
you
good
just
though.
But
that was
that's
good.
That's when I realized that you're a savage when it comes to clashing, because you was dealing because Wiley's going crazy.
Yeah, and every time
I think you're done, you're coming back like.
You know, it is though as well. It's like, it's that East London as well. You know our thing as well, bro. It's just like banter, jokes, just savage.
And yeah.
I just know how to translate that through the music. But I know you're going somewhere with this. Where are you going with this?
Yeah, so I want to talk about how some of these clashes started. So let's talk about the Wiley versus Lethal B clash.
The Wiley one. You see, Wiley, Wiley's got strange ways of trying to give you your props. Like, he's a person that, if he rates you, he's going to send for you. Like, he's going to dish you in some type of way. Or he's going to take your bar, he's going to remix it and make it his own. So that's how it started. One day, he took one of my bars, the Got One of Those bar. Got One of Those. Blue R6, yeah, I had one of those. He took it and made his own one. And obviously, these times, Wiley's the biggest. So when he takes your bar, a lot of people are going to hear him. And then when you do yours, man might think you're trying to copy him. So I was thinking, rah, okay, but I see what you're trying to do here, though. And then that's how it started. We just kept remixing each other's bars. And then it started getting a bit more direct. I think he must have sent for me on radio one day. And then I just said, you know what, all right, cool. So I just replied on radio. So it was very much just kind of playful at the start. And then one day I woke up and Commander B on Choice FM had a dub plate from Wiley just sending for me. And I was just like, raw. But I was happy at the same time because this is like resurgence bizzle time. 03, where I'm like, I'm all or nothing. I'm going for broke now. So Wiley actually sending for me was not a part of the plan, but it helped accelerate the plan, because my plan was get back on like radio, get back on the streets, make my name pop in again, then do a song. But Wiley just made that happen like maybe a year earlier by having that clash.
Kind of put all eyes on you again.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because them times Wiley was, I don't know who I can even compare him to, but his influence was ridiculous back then, bro. Like Wiley, that's why he's the godfather, bro. You know what I mean, Carl? He had so much power. He could just change your life overnight, bro. And he kind of did. That clash literally put me back on the map because this is like post-Morfire crew. Things are not really popping as much. It's a bit, yeah, it's a bit quiet. You got Dizzy, you got Crazy Titch, you got all these other man. So Wiley's seeing that, rah, like, I'm grafting, like, I got bare new bars, I'm going on radio after radio station. He can just see that I'm ready again, like, I'm not on this, I made a big song, I'm in the charts, so I'm just trying to be cool, I'm back. And even that in itself took a lot of mental strength because you got to remember, man's coming from the big song, top 10, top of the pops, doing tours, and then I'm back on the pirate radio, back on the streets, back in the dungeon. And then the man, like, even there's a couple other MCs I remember used to have a couple bars for me, like, yeah, you're back with us now, like, you thought you was gone. I had to deal with all of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like my hunger and my drive was probably outdoing Ozzy and Nico at the time. Because we were still kind of cool at the time, but I feel like the way my brain was at that time, because I knew I had so much on the line, I knew that I had to go for it. So I think that probably as well maybe made us a bit distant. If that didn't happen, I don't know if power happens.
Yeah.
So I'm
.
I'm like, I need to take advantage of the situation. So that's why I said I need to play chess now. Because I was like, I can make a song by myself, make a quick banger. But I was like, nah, I need to get a couple of the man them on this tune. And also, I need to get a couple man that's in Wiley's crew. So Wiley's DJ has to play it as well. So that's where Flo then, like me and Flo then had a separate relationship anyway. Like we went to school together. So even though me and Wiley are clashing, it's not really that deep. It's just bars, isn't it? But it was very competitive. So the power idea was another kind of chess move. And also I wanted to try and create an alliance because Wiley was so powerful back then. And if you wasn't in the Wiley corner, it was very hard for you to, you know, get opportunities.
Yeah, now that makes sense. Another one that was actually very pivotable, crazy.
That word.
Ha. Another one that was very pivotal to the success of Grime Daily, I would say. Because when we started,
we
did command the eyes of a lot of people that were in the room, but these were still niche people in terms of like people who actually cared about British music.
Mm.
But you know when you just have a bit of controversy and stuff and it's just something that you can't ignore. There was like a back and forth between you and Jammer at a certain time.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much music involved. It was just dissing each other.
That was mad, you know. I didn't even know how that even started.
That was insane. I want to know how that started. How did that start?
What
was the catalyst for that?
Honestly, I don't even remember. I remember waking up one day and man's telling me Jammer's chatting shit about me. I think that's how it started. Because I don't remember me saying anything.
Yeah.
So, I can't fully... Bro, I think you might have started it, bro.
I'm not sure I would have
started
anything.
I think you might... No,
We were just filming the things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I think he's gone on Grime Daily.
Okay.
And I think he's said something on it.
Okay.
And then I think you lot have hit me for the reply. So really, you started... The beef with me and Jammer back then, bro. It was you, bro. Because I don't remember any issues. And then one day, Jammer, I don't know, I can't remember what he said. And then you was like, basically I got this new channel, Grime Daily. Like, obviously Jammer's said this, like, do you want to have your say? Then I think you come to, I think I saw it obviously online and I've done a reply. And we were just chatting shit, though.
Yeah.
That's the maddest part. It's like, What was that even over? And I think that's when I was like, this talking thing's stupid. And that's when I just done the song. And I just thought, this is long, bro. Like, man's just doing fucking chat show. Bro, fuck it. Let's just get to music, innit? And then I just done the song, which was, that was quite harsh still. I'm not proud of that one. I can't lie, still.
Yeah, I want to talk about your harshness when it comes to clashes. Because obviously, like,
at the time, I'm in war mode. You see with me, bro, when I'm in war mode, I don't care. Like, it is what it is. Like, if there's a mode that I get in when it's that time, and anything, it's whatever, innit?
Like, I feel like you're a no-holds-barred kind of guy. Because even when I was looking back at the N-dub stuff and all that kind of stuff, there's certain things I don't think that you'd probably say today.
Probably not.
Like, you're just a bit of a savage when it comes to that.
But I'm war tested, though. Yeah. That's the thing with grime as well. Grime makes you battle tested. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why even, like, that situation with Demla was not even that deep, because, like, they're a pop group, innit? So even when I'm really going at them, like, I'm not even really, like, I'm even, if you listen to the dub, I did, it's like, it's humorous. I'm not even, but I'm always, I'm barring. I'm saying some real shit, but I'm not like the me and Wiley thing. I'm not taking it serious, like I was taking that serious. I sounded like Jamie there. Hmm. But again, that mode that I used to get into, it wasn't a nice mode still. It's not a nice mode. I don't know if I want to get in that mode again. Sometimes I listen back to some things and I'm just like, not. Like the Jammer one, I'm not proud of that one still. I'm not proud of that one. That one was a bit mad. But at the time, it is what it is.
I'll tell you something.
I think I even told you to take it down.
Yeah. We took it all down.
I told you to take it down, like, because...
We put it all on private.
Yeah.
That was on the old channel anyway.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something quite funny, actually. I went to the Microphone Champion launch. Skepta had a microphone.
With the boxing?
Yeah, boxing.
Yeah.
And, he'd walk past me. And then when I spoke to him eventually later that day, he said he walked past me. This is around the time when you and Jammer are having this back and forth, yeah? In fact, Jammer even replied to you on that day.
Okay.
After the launch, we filmed something that he put out. But anyway, he walked past me because he thought I was you. So he said, Ifo, why is Lifo be here? Kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? But this is why this thing's heating. And it's actually quite funny as well, because obviously we've got bare stories. It's like sometimes you might hear a mad story about you and you'd have to phone me sometimes to ask me if I was at wherever this place was. Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that was one of those.
That's hilarious.
That was one of those funny moments.
I remember when I came to the GRM gala.
Yeah.
And this girl come up to me and like, I was thinking, okay, big hard, you're right. I'm thinking, this girl. And then she's gone to her friend, it's Posty. He runs the event. And then the girl went, right, the girl obviously knew who I was, and she was like, Post did it. And I was like, nah, I'm not Posty. And she was like, oh, no, you're the other guy. Who are you again? And I was like, nah, don't worry about it, man. It's cool. She's like, no, what's your name again? I was like, nah, it's cool. And then her friend told her.
But
I don't even know. We're right next to each other now, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does man look alike, though? Well, you must do, because I'm not going to lie. I saw you one time in Wireless, bro. You were doing big photo shoot. Man thought you was...
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm wrong with it, man.
Sometimes I'm wrong with it.
All right, cool. So, obviously, PAL, 20th anniversary, 1st of December, you had to remove one verse off that song. You had to. Gun to your head. Could you? What verse would you remove?
What I could do, because obviously it kicks it off. So if I took myself out of the equation, I don't know, is PAL still as impactful if PAL's not on the song though?
I don't think it is.
Nah, bro, I don't think there is you know what? That's actually an ironic question, because I took off arguably the best verse of the song.
Hotshot, right?
Hotshot.
Yeah, that's insane. I was going to ask you about that question next. Like, Did you take that off because you thought the song was too long?
No.
Or you thought his verse was too long?
If I'm being honest, Hot Shot just wasn't on it. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do music anymore. Firstly, the verse wasn't going to get played in any national radio anyway, so that edit would have been the edit. But Hot Shot himself just said, nah, I don't even care about this music thing like that. And you got to remember, like, them times there, 20 years ago, no one's really seeing a future in this, because we haven't got the examples to see, like, people that really look like us that's gone on and, you know, created, you know, whatever they've created. Like, what we've managed to achieve now, we didn't have those examples. We had to look at America.
To be fair, I was going to say, with all the controversy surrounding Pow and the stigma it had around that time, like, even having that verse, I don't think... Because that verse was so mad, it would have just made everything worse.
Yeah, yeah, possibly.
Because it's just... Like, possibly, see when you're possibly. In a rave and you hear that, like, oh, that wasn't the merch one, that wasn't the commercial one. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If you're in a rave and you hear that, you're losing all your brains. Yeah, yeah. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I even lose myself. I performed at Carnival this year, and they played Pow, and I just did, like, my parts, and Ozzy and Nico did their parts. But then I didn't realise he had the version with Hot Shot on it.
Mm.
So if you go on my Insta, you'll see the Hot Shot bit comes on. And I'm looking at him like, what? I didn't even know you had this version, bro. That's when I started smashing up the stage, the Hennessy stage. I started smashing up the board, like, I don't even know what you call it. The production, I was just losing myself because I've never heard that verse in Carnival before and ain't heard it for time. So when it came on, I was like, yeah, still, for me, the best verse on Pow. Probably Fuming second for me.
And how's this show going to work?
I don't want to give too much away, but I just love that we're making it happen. And Roll Deep as well. Like, the irony of Fire Camp, me and Wiley being arch rivals 20 years later down the line, we're doing it. We're doing a show together. So that in itself is historical as well. And yeah, and all the man them from Pow, bro, man. One thing I want to say, how long do you reckon the song's going to take to do?
Probably 3 reloads.
3?
Is that too much?
3 reloads, that's it?
You know, I don't know, it's a long song. Depends where you're reloading from.
Man said 3 reloads, that it? I mean, what? I'm not going
to... Are you going to do full performance all the way to the end?
What, for the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get to the end, bro.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, to the end 3 times.
Oh, no, I don't think that's going to happen, bro.
Oh, you mean how many reloads are you going to get?
Like...
Oh, and then carry on from whoever had the last reload.
No,
oh.
No, you have to start the song again.
Oh, you have to start the song again.
So, yeah. Oh. So listen, just to save time, I probably won't reload myself.
Okay.
But Fuming comes out, what? You're barking up.
Yeah.
Then we got to go again. Then if man comes out, he might go mad again. We have to pull up Fuming again. Then yeah. Double comes on. Ooh. And...
Yeah. That's again. A lot of reloads.
Oh, crack your...
Yeah.
Good boy for just circle.
Yeah.
Killer.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring up. Yeah. That's about what? At least 7, 8.
What, can you get? Are you getting Hot Shot for this performance or not?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
I don't want to give too much away, but I put him down on the flyer, but yeah.
Yeah. When you did Power 2, you had, like...
Which one you talking about? Because one...
The Wiley, leaked. Jeremy, Kano...
Oh, the 11 one. Okay, gets yeah, one. Yeah.
Obviously, that was one of the best lineups you could ever get. Why did you feel like that version of Power, even though I love that song as well, I'm not saying it wasn't loved, why did you feel like it wasn't as big as the first Power? Do you feel like
you know what's funny?
Too many years in between the first and the second to get that sort of impact? Or
do you know what's funny though? That question, it depends who you ask. Because you ask a 25 plus year old, 2011 is the one for them.
Okay.
You ask a 30 plus year old, it's 04. So I think for us, me personally, like 04 is the one, innit? And 2011 I feel like I managed to capture a whole new generation.
Who, in your opinion, is the greatest Grime MC ever, and why?
Wiley.
Why?
For many reasons, not just for his work ethic and his skills on the microphone, but his perseverance and his presence alone that kept us going. Like, there's always been times like we're going through right now, Grime is back, Grime is back. Like, Grime ain't back. Grime's never gone anywhere. It's just no one cared because it's not trendy. Now it's trendy again, and you're seeing it on the platforms and it's in your face. Everyone's like, it's back. Like, no, it's been happening. Like, there's always been sets happening, people been putting out music. There's Grime shows, there's Grime events, it's been happening. But anyway, going back to Wiley, throughout all of that, like, we're probably on our fourth time, apparently, Grime was dead and now it's come back. Throughout all of those times, Wiley's always been there. That let us know that it's not dead. And I remember the first time in 03, when it was like a bit shaky in the game, Wiley was the one telling me, what's going to happen? Bro, we're going to be doing tours. These times it's unheard of. We're going to be doing festivals. Bro, we just got to keep going. And he would just lead by example. He would just keep going. You see him putting out rhythms, fucking up raves, trying to help this person, trying to help that person, trying to bust that artist. Like, single-handedly, like, he is the inspiration and motivation for this scene's foundation, bro. He is, like, when people say he's the reason why we're all here, we're not just talking about the music he's made. It's all the other components that he does that inspires us, or me anyway, to keep persevering.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.